and amen. How many of you this morning believe that the truth is the truth? Amen. You don't know whether you do or not, huh? Well, you know, the truth is the truth. The truth is the truth, but sometimes we don't like the truth. I never saw the movie, but I've seen it advertised several different times in the clips of where they've shown it on TV. I can't even remember the name of it. Something about the Marines. Might have been A Few Good Men. Was it? But anyway, in this clip, Jack Nicholson is confronted by the attorney, and he said, "Now tell me the truth." And Nicholas looks at him and says, "You can't handle the truth." And you know, if we don't watch, Nicholson wasn't far from right. And what we're going to look at today is the truth is the truth. And we're going to start in Galatians chapter 4. The verse of scripture that I put in the bulletin, if you've had a chance to read it. Paul is talking to the church at Galatia, and he's trying to get them to see that the Judaizers are trying to mess them up by telling them that they're supposed to be living under the Jewish law as well as accepting Jesus. And so Paul tells them some pretty strong things. And then in verse 16, he makes a statement to them. "Have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" You know, in 41 years in the ministry and being acquainted with a lot of different pastors and being at conferences and meetings and dealing with a lot of pastors, you know, I found out through the years that there's a lot of people that these pastors have told the truth to and the people didn't want to hear it. Jesus told the truth and the people didn't want to hear it. But now I want to ask you something. As we look at this, today I'm going to talk about the truth. Next Sunday I'm going to talk about being your enemy. You need to know who your enemy really is and what your enemy is doing to you. But today we're going to talk about the truth. And I want to ask you this question, though. When you come to hearing something, when you hear it preaching or teaching or reading a book or listening to a CD or whatever it is, and you're gaining information, let me ask you this. What is the most important thing to learn? How to live or doctrine? And most people seem to say, "Well, you know, I want to know how to live tomorrow. This doctrine stuff just confuses me." And it's important to know how to live tomorrow, but do you understand that unless you learn some Christian doctrine, you're not going to know how to live tomorrow? And so it's as important to learn doctrine as it is to learn how to live. Because is what you're being taught how to live the truth? It won't help if it isn't. And is our doctrine the truth? Not only will it not help you if it isn't, it can damn you if it isn't. So it's important to know the truth about how to live, and it's important to learn the truth about the doctrine that we believe. Put both of them into perspective. So how are we going to do that? How am I going to know the truth about how to live when I got so many different ideas out here? Just one subject, for instance. One subject. Who are you going to believe when it comes to what you should eat and not eat? Haven't you noticed that there isn't like one side and another side? There's 72 sides. whether or not you should drink coffee or whether or not you shouldn't. Drinking bottled water as opposed to tap water. Don't eat fat. Don't eat carbohydrates. Eat a lot of protein. You know, if you eat too much protein, it'll affect your kidneys negatively. If you eat too much carbohydrates, it affects everything negatively. Quit eating this and be all right with this. Don't eat this, don't eat that. You know, let all things be, the Scripture says, in moderation. But you see, how do we know what moderation is? It depends on who we're talking to. So it brings me down to this. When we start sharing things and we start believing things, is it a lie or is it our version of the truth? You understand what I'm saying? Is it a lie or is it our version of the truth? Do we share stuff because we know it's a lie, but we want to share it anyway? Or do we share stuff that we believe is our version of the truth? We believe what we're sharing is truth. Which is the truth? Chevrolets are better than Fords. Or Fords are better than Chevrolets. Which one's the truth? I mean, you know, there are things like truth. If something's hot, it's hot. But even that has a version of truth. Because, I mean, you eat stuff and you say, man, I can't stand this stuff. It's too hot. And the person sitting there next to you says, what are you talking about? It's a version of the truth. Now, let me ask you this. Is it a lie or is it our version of the truth? I'm going to illustrate it by this question. What's God like? Now, are you going to lie on God or are you just going to tell people your version of your idea about God? Now, don't answer this. I mean, don't stick your hand up. How many of you in here this morning would tell somebody or agree with somebody that God sent the storm because the people that got caught in the storm were mean and that God sent it to punish them? Or how many of you would say God didn't have anything to do with that storm because He doesn't do those things? He does not steal, kill, or destroy. See, there's people that love God, they really do, that would tell you both things. Now, is the one saying, I know this is a lie, but I'm going to tell it to you anyway? No. It's their version of what they believe to be the truth. And the problem is, in so many cases with so many people, we live our lives based upon what we believe to be the truth. And if it's the truth, hallelujah. But if it's not the truth, then it's going to mess us up. Interesting little thing. I didn't know what she was going to put in the newsletter, the bulletin this morning, but she put the thing in there about the importance and the reasons for speaking in tongues. Now, she has presented, Laverne did that. She has put that in there because it is our version of the truth. Now, you went to another church, you got their bulletin, it might say in there, speaking in tongues is of the devil, and you better leave it alone. Or you might pick up another version or another bulletin, and the version of that would be, tongues passed away with the apostolic period, and it doesn't have any significance to us anymore. None of those were presented to be a lie and be perpetuated, knowing that this is not the truth, but this is what we want to tell. All of those are versions of what we perceive to be the truth. Problem is, first of all, our source. What is your source of truth? In John chapter 18, look at some things that Scripture says about truth. John 18. We're going to begin with verse 37. Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth." That I should bear witness to the truth. "Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no fault in him at all." Jesus said, "I came to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth will hear me." And then Pilate asks him, "What is truth?" Now, I don't know about you, but I see something significant in this, in that something happened in Pilate's attitude. Because after Jesus made those statements about the truth, Pilate went out and told the crowd, "I don't find any fault at all in him." But they didn't want to hear that. What is truth? Interesting question. Back up a chapter to chapter 17. Chapter 17, we're going to beginning to read with verse 14. "I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world." Now, did you hear all that? Then look what he says. "Sanctify," or set them apart. "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth." Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Your word is truth. The real truth in this life is the Word of God. The real truth in this life is what God says. It is not my version of what He says, and it is not my opinion about what He says. It is His Word. So therefore, I am obligated to proceed to the depth of understanding His Word to the point where I am in good conscience giving His Word without just giving my version of the truth. You see, it's not my version of the truth that says, "By grace you're saved." It's not my version of the truth that says it's not of works that we're saved. That's what God says. Now, my version can be what I decide. Yeah, that's great and it's wonderful, but you got to get circumcised. You got to keep this law. You got to keep that law. You got to do this. You got to do that. There's people, there's ministers that will get up in the pulpit and they will say with their mouth, "If you don't tithe, you're going to hell. If you don't tithe, you may go to the poor farm. You may be living on the low end of the street, but not tithing won't send you to hell. If it is, then the most important thing is whether you tithe or not, and not that Jesus shed his blood at Calvary. Yeah, there's consequences, but there is truth. What is the truth in the doctrine? It is that we are saved by believing in Jesus Christ and that alone. But that's too simple. Over the years, we've had to add a lot of stuff to it. We've had to explain it. We've had to, quote, amplify it. I heard somebody make a statement the other day. They said a lot of people are afraid of the grace message. You can't just tell people all you got to do is believe. And Jesus saved them, all they got to do is believe, and they don't have to do nothing. You know what? If I believe the doctrine, it'll change my life. If I believe the doctrine of the gospel of salvation, it'll change my life. I've used this before, but I'm going to use it again. What if the truth is that Laverne there, I married her, and what if she were to have said to me, I want you to know something. I love you unconditionally. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. No matter what you do, I will forgive you. And no matter how you live, I will never, ever stop loving you. If you're unfaithful to me, I'm going to still stay with you. I'm still going to love you. Now, I've had that presented to me, and I'm marrying her, and I've got one or two things that I can think. Wow, I can do anything I want and get by with it. And who am I thinking about? Myself. What I want is important, but boy, thank God that she said, I'll let you do anything you want to do and I'll never leave you. Boy, am I going to have fun? Am I going to enjoy this relationship? And I'm not taking any consideration at all. What is the great commandment? What is the greatest commandment? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor. The second one's likened to it, your neighbor is yourself. And if I think, but here's the other reaction. Man, that woman loves me that much. She is that faithful and that loyal to me. I'm going to do everything I can to not disappoint her. I'm going to do everything I can. But see, all that I do doesn't have anything to do with the fact that she said, I'm not going to leave you no matter whether you do it well or don't do it well, whether you mess up or whether you don't mess up. I'm going to stay with you. If you want to stay with me, I'm going to stay with you. Now you see, you got to go beyond human love to be able to say that. But see, we're not dealing with human love. But the problem is we project human love onto God. And we say, if I couldn't do it, how could God do it? He could do it a whole lot better than you because he's God. I'm not going to lay down my life for them people over there. They don't deserve it. Jesus didn't look at this world and say, I'm not going to lay my life down for them people. They don't deserve it. But they may be sanctified or set apart by the truth. John chapter 8. John chapter 8, beginning with verse 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, You are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Jesus answered them, Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Now, let me ask you this. Ask yourself this question. How am I affected by the truth? How am I affected by the truth? The truth is this. Let all bitterness cease. Let all bitterness cease. Now, I won't have any trouble at all with that truth if I don't have any bitterness. But if I've got bitterness towards somebody, I'm going to hear that, let all bitterness cease. And then I'm going to have one or two reactions. I'm going to hear that and I'm going to say, I've got to get this bitterness out of my life and God can help me with it. And I'm going to be free from this. Or we can have a reaction, something like, well, that preacher was preaching right at me this morning and he don't have any right to tell me that kind of stuff. If I want to, he don't know what they did to me. Different reactions to the truth. We're always going to be faced with accepting or rejecting the truth. The truth is always going to make us feel better or it's going to make us feel worse. So like I said, somebody said years ago, you'll know the truth and it'll make you free, but it'll make you miserable first. But the truth will make us free. Now, let's go to Romans chapter 1. And look at something here. This falls, the last part of this chapter falls under the heading, God's wrath on unrighteousness. Right before that, the just shall live by faith. But this is basically a portrayal from the eyes of Paul and from the understanding of Paul through the Spirit of God, what humanity is like without God. Verse 24. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Who exchanged the truth of God, notice what it says, for, not a lie, but for the lie. So now what we've got here, we have an equation. We have truth, we have the truth, and the lie. Now, what is the lie that Paul's talking about? In the context of what he's talking about, there's one thing. In the context of the Scriptures, it could be something else. But I'm going to give you two things that could be the lie, but you can put them together and you make them out of one thing, actually. This is the first one. What is the lie? What is the lie? It's this. It's when the devil says, has God really said? See, that was the first thing that came into question in mankind's mind. Satan came and approached Eve and said to her, has God really said? And she said, God said we could eat of every tree in a garden except the tree that's in the middle of the garden, which is a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. From that tree, we shall not eat, because the day that we eat it, now I'm talking about, this is doctrine, see, this is doctrine, not life. But you got to mix the two together to understand the one. So she said, the day we eat it, it'll die. Now, here's the kicker. The devil, the serpent, came back at her not with a lie, not with an outright lie, but with his version of the truth. Now, Eve, God's just telling you that because he doesn't want y'all to be as smart as he is. He's telling you that to keep you down on the level below him, because he knows that if you eat of that, you won't die. And the devil, in his version of the truth, was telling them the truth. He was saying, if you eat of that, you won't die. And he was only speaking about the physical death. His version of the truth. You won't die. But you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. Now, the first lies could be, hath God said? But look what it says in verse 25 here again in Romans. Who exchanged the truth of God for the lie. Who exchanged the truth of God for the lie. What's the next word? And. Now that and there could be an and of connection. Or it could be an and of, I don't know how to explain it, results. Did they do two things? Did they change the truth of God for a lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator who is blessed forever? Or did they exchange the truth of God for the lie, and as the result of exchanging the truth of God for the lie, they worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator who is blessed forever? What the lie is, man is number one, not God. God is not number one, man is. And when you think about what he just said here, and think about the conversation between Adam and Eve, what was the whole thing that Eve was inclined to believe because of what the serpent was telling them? You will be equal to God. You will be as smart as God. You'll be up there on the top row. Now, when you go all the way back from there, back to Lucifer's days, when he was the star of the morning, and when he was the cherubim that covered the praise and worship in heaven, what was his problem? I will rise up and become like God. What's What's evolution teach? What does humanism teach? That the crowning glory of creation is man. Not in the sense of what the Bible says, because the Bible does say that we are God's greatest creation. We're His crowning of the glory in creating us. But we are not God. And we will never be God, and we do not, or we should not even attempt to put ourselves in a position to be God. We should walk in the place that God has for us, which is above everything that's created, but not above the Creator. Worshipped and served the creature. Made all of our decisions based upon what does the creature want? What does the creature need? Rather than on what has God said. What does God expect of us? One other scripture, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Keep in mind what we just read about the lie. Chapter 2, beginning with verse 9. 2 Thessalonians 2, beginning with verse 9. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders. Now this will pick up and play into next week's message. And with all unrighteousness, deception. You know, that's the emphasis. Paul wrote that like that way to emphasize it. Unrighteous deception. You know why he wrote it to emphasize it? Because tell me, where is there any righteous deception? What is deception? Deception is telling something that's not the truth. It may be a version of the truth. It may be an outright lie. But most people won't tell an outright lie, but they're good at telling their version of the truth. He said, with all unrighteous deception. That'd be like saying, with all ungodly sin. Like there's sin that isn't ungodly. It's an emphasis on how bad it is. With all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. Now that's an interesting thought right there. They did not receive, it doesn't say they did not receive the truth. It says they did not receive the love of the truth. Do you want to hear the truth? Well, it depends on how it affects me. The love of the truth is I want to hear the truth no matter what it is. I want to live my life by truth. I don't want any of my life to be lived by some measure outside of it being the truth. I want to, but you know, when you don't receive the love of the truth, what you're saying, I want to hear my version of the truth. If your version of the truth is not the same as my version of the truth, don't even tell me about it. Because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion. That's believing something that isn't the truth. That they should believe what? The lie. That they all may be condemned who do not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. The lie God's not first. You are. The truth, God is to be worshipped and served above all the creation. Live by that truth. God's first. God is first. When I make a decision, I should make it based upon God, not based upon me. Based upon what God has said about it, what God thinks about it, what the Spirit of the Lord is telling me about it. And you know the thing about it is you can hear the truth, and I'm going to just simply refer to this. It's in the bulletin this morning. But the thing about conviction and condemnation, if the Spirit of God presents a truth to you and your reaction to that truth is you feel bad, but what you want to do is get with God and get it straightened up. That's conviction. If you hear a truth and your reaction is to run from that truth, to hide from that truth, to escape from it and ignore it and not deal with it, you know, even if it means I'm not going back there to that church anymore where that preacher can't preach that way to me, or something even simpler than that. Condemnation. It's a result of an unwarranted reaction to the truth. And that reflects your love for the truth. And on a living it basis rather than on a doctrinal basis, why is it so difficult for people to admit the truth? Did you hear that? I don't get you heard that. He said, really good answer. They're afraid. But see, if you know that God really, 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 really loves you, and there's no question in your heart about how much God loves you, and that God's on your side, and that God sent Jesus Christ to die for you when you didn't need it. When you understand all that, when you got that doctrine in your heart, you know what that'll do? That one particular doctrine right there, that God loves you no matter what and He's never going to stop loving you, you won't be afraid to hear the truth. Why? Because perfect love casts out fear. Because fear has torments. God does not reveal the truth to you about anything so He can torment you. The devil will reveal truth to you from his version and torment you with it. But when God reveals the truth to us through His Word, it's never to torment us. What's it for? To set us free. Wow. You want to be free? Grab the truth and hang on to it. Let's stand. Bow our heads, close our eyes. Are you walking in the truth? Have you a love for the truth? Is the truth of God more important than what you want to do, what you want to think, or what you want to say? Does it line up with the Word of God? That's your challenge as you leave here this morning. That's your challenge. What are you going to do with the truth? Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the Word. How are you going to treat Him? Heavenly Father, thank you for your revelation to us. Thank you, Lord God, for your faithfulness to open your will, open your word, give us the ability and the opportunity, Lord God, to be exposed to it and receive it. And Lord God, help us to really, really realize that the most important thing that we have to deal with is learning to make sure that we have committed to whatever it is because we know it's the truth of your word. You're a good God. A loving God. A righteous God. A truthful God. And when we stand on the truth, we have a sure foundation. But to stand on anything other than the truth is like standing on sand that'll be washed out from under our feet. But thank you, Lord God, that we have hope in you in all things. In Jesus Christ. Amen. I've been asked to remind you that Tuesday night is woman to woman, and it's not in the bulletin, but they'll be here at, 6 o'clock. God bless you.